So, our next talk will be held by Guinness. She is a researcher in computer science and a PhD student to be that does a lot with security stuff, and she is a member of Quadrature du Net. And maybe you've heard that some French cities are pushing for a lot of technology everywhere, so so-called safe smart cities. Of course, that means a lot of surveillance everywhere, and that is where the new campaign Technopolice of Quadrature du Net comes in place, and that is exactly what Guinness will talk about, so please give her a warm applause for her talk.
So, thank you everybody for being here, and hello everybody. So, I'm gonna talk about safe cities, the risk in our society, and the new campaign we are starting with La Quadrature du Net, which is called Technopolice. All the tools we are setting up to fight the use of technologies for security reasons in the cities. So, as our hero said, I'm a PhD student to be in computer science, especially in SAT solving. I'm a member of La Quadrature du Net and Exodus Privacy, and I'm the kind of people that freaks out when I see a camera in the outside. So this is basically what we are talking about, like big screens, control everywhere, security cameras, microphones, drones, all this kind of stuff that many mayors in France are trying to use in accordance with the police to secure the city. So I will first start with an observation and all the kind of projects that we have seen in France over the past 2 years and that are being set up in the cities in as experiments, actually. So there are many projects, as I said. For example, in the south of France, the cities of Marseille and Nice tried to add some facial recognition at the entrance of the high schools to know exactly who is in the high school at which moment, saying that it would help if some people try to enter the high school without being allowed to do so. In the city of Nice also, the mayor and the city tried to use an Android application called Reporty to call the police and directly video stream and stream geolocalization to the police so they can have an insight on what is going on for many different reasons. And more recently, in the city of Saint-Étienne, we heard about a big project of the secure district with microphones, drones, automated cameras, and eventually police patrols if it is necessary. So I told about facial recognition. We tried, when we heard about this project, to stop it. We started legal action against the city and the high schools, and we managed to have it reported, but a few months ago we were alerted that the portals were installed, not set up and functional, but already installed, and they should start to be used in September. The Android application called Reporty, which is basically collaborating with the police. So you can call the police with a direct button, stream video to the police center, you can stream the geolocalization and give some more information. And everything. Thus, Nice already had the highest density of video cameras in France, with nearly 2,000 video cameras on the whole city, which is about 27 cameras per square kilometer. In the city of Marseille, last year they wanted to build what they called the Big Data Observatory to give some predictive analysis to the police to see what will happen tomorrow based on what happened yesterday. They wanted to aggregate the data from everywhere, road traffic, weather, data from the fire workers, from the justice, from the video cameras, from the calls, but also using the crowdsourcing. So text message, video, audio, you can give your stress level, and this coupled with your geolocalization gives an insight of what is happening. But also the social media data, for example, Twitter and Facebook data streams. And so they wanted to use this all this data with some AI to have this predictive analysis, analytics for the police. And what starts to be quite terrifying is that they are working not only inside the state, but they are working with big companies like Thales or Engie, which create some huge contracts and gives these companies access to the data they are collecting. In the city of Saint-Étienne, which I talked about a little bit before, the setup was more this one. So they wanted to have microphones that detect so-called weird sounds. In the documents we managed to get, it was like really said weird sounds. So it can be trillings, crash, barks, spray paints, nearly everything that is not normal, so-called normal. And then, if necessary, they will check with automated drones or the surveillance cameras to see if it is necessary to send a police patrol on the zone where the problem was detected. And obviously, everything is recorded and fed to a data platform, so they can aggregate all this data and train some AI to have some more precise analysis of what is happening and what is really a weird sound or what is not a weird sound. They have some business words, the companies, the cities. It is always in the communication the same words. So fear, real time, because they want to have like real time analytics and real time answers to the problems. And infallible. They think that big data is the solution to everything and that they can detect any problem to create a perfect, calm city. I don't know what this means. I don't feel safe in a city where there is no sound or anything. And the question we were asking with the members of La Quadrature du Net is, why we do not want to have this in our world, what impact it can have on the society and on the way we live on a daily basis. So, first of all, France is not the first country where such experiments are being set up. We have seen it already in China, in the US, in the UK, especially in London. And these experimentations have proved not to create safer spaces. For example, in the city of New York, they failed to detect drivers based on automated facial recognition on a bridge. In the city of London, there were way more false positives detection than true positives, which eventually led to useless police operations, and multiple people were arrested, whereas they shouldn't have been arrested. So this kind of technology has proved not to be more efficient than just human beings. We also have some more social problems with this kind of security-based way of life. First of all, we know that there is this Hawthorn effect, which is that by just knowing you are being surveilled or observed, you change your behavior. For example, when I'm in a city walking or riding a bike, if I see some cameras or some police officers in the street, I will not behave the same way. As if they weren't here. Also, it reverses the burden of proof in that people have to prove that they are not guilty. They have to prove constantly their innocence instead of people being oppressed or aggressed that have to prove that they were indeed oppressed. And in this way, it changes the police work. Instead of fighting crime, instead of protecting the population, they just make sure that everybody conforms to a society model, that everybody fits in this society model. And one last important point, which mostly concerns artificial intelligence and the use of big data, is that we know that our society already had a lot of bias. For example, the Western world is mostly racist, homophobic, transphobic, and using AI based on bias data has been proved to reinforce this bias. And using such technologies to secure the city will just lead to more discrimination, segregation, and increase the gap between the good citizens and the unwanted citizens. So the question is, what do we want in our society? I mean, do we really want a big brother society with constant surveillance, with flaring on a daily basis, every day, every time, that we are being surveilled, that we could be arrested because we just walked not the way they wanted us to walk, or because they saw that we had maybe a knife in our pocket, or that we were taking pictures of video cameras, or that we were, just sitting with a hoodie and doing some stuff on our computers in a bar? Do we really want this perfect neighborhood that they are trying to sell us, which is like silent, free of all human extravagance, no graffiti, no barks, no noise, no people running their bikes or anything? Do we really want this? And also, do we want to give still more data to big companies like, Thales and Engie, which are really fond of data on the people? They can create what they want as a society with this whole data. Because they are training the AI, so they are choosing the way this AI will be trained and will behave. And then give control, give some control to the police in the way they will behave, because they can choose what will be reported as weird or dangerous or not. This kind of technology sets everything on the same level. Weather problems, a car crash, a crime, terrorist attacks, everything is considered on the same level as abnormal. And then the next question is, what can we do to fight this kind of society model they are trying to force us to have and to live in? There are many ways of doing this. The first thing is raising awareness, which is what I am trying to do now with the whole of you here. And so just speaking about this with your neighbors, your friends, your family, which are not necessarily aware of this, we can try to block this project either on using legal ways or other ways. And also we can try to work together. We are working on the French level because we mostly have the knowledge of the French law and French administration. But it would be interesting to have some other initiatives going in the same ways in other countries, and trying to set up everything together to see what are the most beloved projects, what are the most used companies, which company is trying to sell what kind of infrastructure, what kind of projects. And so we eventually arrived to this campaign, which we launch in September, on the 16th of September, which is called Technopolis. So techno like technology and police like the police, because this is what they are really trying to create. So first we will work at the French level, as I said before, and we will try to provide multiple tools. Our idea is to create a decentralized action run by local committees in the city, and to provide all the tools that they can need to block this project, to discuss and share about their way of blocking their actions, what was efficient, what was not efficient, what kind of projects are being set up. For example, I don't know, I saw once that there is this startup in France called My Mary, which is like My City, which is selling some Android applications and infrastructure with a click button system for the cities to set up what kind of control they want to have. Do they want to be warned about incivilities? Do they want to be warned about, I don't know, trash bins being full, or when there are some car crashes, when there are some intervention on some in some streets, if there are some works in another street. But they are selling this handout application already, and not for a lot of money. It's something like renting the whole system for 500 euros per month, which is not a lot for let's say a 10,000 people city. I will now describe the tools that we have set up or that are being set up, because we are still being setting up some tools for the campaign. The first tool is our manifesto that we wrote a few months ago, which is translated in English. It is not yet available in English because we do not have the English version of the website. And it describes our vision of this world that we are trying to create. What is dangerous in this world, and what we would like to see, how the way we want to see this world without this constant surveillance, which is inefficient. We will provide a website, which is already set up, with an easy access to all the other tools, with some articles on the new projects we are aware of, on the legal or political actions that we are starting, on the victories we can have, for example, when we manage to block the facial recognition portals in the south of France, and which also gives access, for example, to the manifesto. We provide a forum, which will be basically where people from other regions of France can talk, share about their experiences on the Technopolis, where they can share the projects they may have heard about, where they can share what they tried, I don't know, talking to the mayors, attacking the projects on a legal basis, anything, actually. We also set up a tool called Uwazi, which is a software that creates, that allows people to create and share document collections and to create some links between entities. For example, you can create entities which will be the cities, the big companies selling the project, the projects, the actions that are currently running, the victories, and then you can have an easy access from, you can create some links between all this information and all this data, and you can easily see, for example, which company is selling what kind of projects. Are they selling video cameras? Are they selling artificial intelligence? Are they selling microphones and drones? Are they selling bundles with everything ready? It is kind of useful to have this insight on all these projects. And I kind of forget that I wrote all this on the slide, so this is basically what I said before. The last tool we are currently setting up is a secure drop to leak, for people who want to leak some information they have about some projects, if it is like an experiment or a private project or if people are working in company selling this kind of projects and initiatives, secure job is the, in our opinion, the best way of leaking data. Everything is based on Tor. We will provide a handout, an easy guide, a guide of using SecureDrop, how to use it, what are the risks, and how to protect against this kind of risks. It is not set up yet because we were supposed to set this up during the CC camp, but we didn't have enough time, and so it is currently being set up, but it will be available on the website in a few days when everything is ready, actually. And if you are working in big companies, please do not hesitate to leak the data you may have heard about. If you are working, I don't know, in a city in France, and you hear about this kind of projects, do not hesitate. SecureDrop is running everything behind hidden services on Tor, so you are kind of well protected, and you, if you respect the way it is supposed to be used, you won't be. Sorry, I'm losing my words. You won't, shouldn't have any problem, and you will remain anonymous. And as a conclusion, a big conclusion actually, I will sum up what we would like to see also in the next months actually. First of all, as I said before, we are aware that similar projects are being set up in other countries. I spoke with people from Tunisia saying me that such projects are being set up. And we are really interested in creating some new relations with some other NGOs or some other collectives trying to fight this same kind of projects in other countries and to share experiences and maybe reach the European level, for example, to have some laws protecting us against this kind of project. We know that in the US, for example, multiple cities and states are trying to ban facial recognition or automated facial recognition. So we already have some examples that of cities that do not want any more this kind of tools. We have already this kind of arguments to use to block this kind of project. If you find some leaks, some flaws, whatever, if you, I don't know, find a way of shutting down some cameras, do not hesitate, communicate about this. We created a hashtag Technopolis on Twitter. You can contact us on contact@lequadrature.net or contact@technopolis.net. Both email addresses are available. And also, unluckily, La Quadrature is struggling in getting enough money to run every year. So if you have some spare money, please do not hesitate to donate. Even a few euros will be sufficient to help us actually. I'd like to thank everybody of you for your attention, and I think we can move to the Q&A part of this talk.
Thank you, Guinness. So we have lots of time for questions and answers. If you want to put a question for Guinness, there is a microphone in the front and in the middle of the tent. Please come to those microphones. Anybody? Yes. I'm sorry, I do not really see very much. Yeah, here's someone.
Hi, that was super interesting, thanks. I was just wondering, you know, in case we do not manage to fight this off, do you know of any countries in Europe, preferably, that are explicitly not trying to, you know, infiltrate everything their citizens do?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get the questions. Excuse me.
Sorry, I was just wondering if, you know, of any places that are, you know, where the councils or the local governments are trying, are not trying to infiltrate, you know, their citizens' lives?
I don't know if there are such cities. I know that there are many cities that are not trying to push towards this kind of projects, but I don't know if there are many cities that are trying not to push towards these projects, except maybe some cities in France where some members of NGOs defending free software have some access to the mire, kind of, but I don't really know, sorry.
Any more questions? Yeah, come to the microphone.
Thank you, and thank you for your presentation and your research. I was wondering, thinking about the drop and the leaks platform, if you guys have also looked into some legal means to do things like, for example, using law, like in the US you have the freedom of information, to look for some of the products that companies like Thales, Palantir in the US are selling to some of your city agencies, so you can eventually produce a map that brings awareness to some of the governments that are doing that, and maybe at the EU level. Thank you.
So in France, we have this law which allows the citizens and the NGOs to ask to the cities or the administration all the documents on the project. It is called OpenCADA, and we are currently asking to many cities about their documents. This is how we had all the data on the city of Saint-Étienne, for example. We managed to get more than 500 pages of documents with a full description of the whole project. For example, when I spoke about the weird noise and the example of weird noise they were talking about, it, we found it in these documents. We found also who were the administrations giving money, so it was partly the city, the region, the department. For some projects of more than of about 2 million euros, so we can have access to this kind of data. It takes some time, but we have an employee working on this campaign, which has a template of OpenCADA. A template to help asking. And then, when we get this kind of document, everything is uploaded to the UWASI platform I talked about to create all these links and have all this information shared, for sure.
Another question. Is there someone in the back? Yes.
Yes. Hi. Regarding why you would not want to do this, if you want to prevent an adult from doing something silly or strange or unintended, you have to train the high school kids. And if you want to have the high school kids trained good, you will have to do the primary schools. etc. And my biggest fear is with this sort of technology, in the end, we end up with this situation where all creativity is lost from an early age on. So that's what, for me, is one of the motivations of not wanting to do this sort of thing, just because I know that in the end, nobody will be creative anymore. And I think in China, they're going that way. And in China, they will have to import all sort of creativity within 20 years, because they won't have any creative people anymore.
I completely agree with what you are saying. I think I kind of forgot to talk about this kind of arguments, but this is completely true, for sure. And yeah, for now they are working on high schools, but they will move towards elementary schools or secondary school for sure.
Hello, thank you for your talk. I sort of see the so-called smart cities as a bit inevitable, but you know, I agree with everything that you're saying. So I'm wondering, well, is there anyone working on a legal framework to make sure that we get possibly the benefits but not the downsides? So for example, I want my fire department and my ambulance servants to work better. I do not want my cops to work better.
Yeah, so for now, at least in France, there are no laws on this kind of projects. And this is how they manage to go through all the, for example, tender offer, because it is only experiments. And I think that we will try to work on legal frameworks, or offering some ideas of legal frameworks to have the fire workers, for example, having some information, but not the police. And if you have some knowledge, if your NGO has some knowledge on this, or wants to work, for example, at the European level on this kind of projects, I think we will be extremely happy to work with you on this kind of projects.
There was a question here. Can you come to the microphone? Thank you.
Hello. Thank you all very much for your nice speech. I would be interested in how far you are connected to other urban movements, for example, the movement of solidarity cities in Europe.
So I don't know this movement. For now, we are trying to work with local committees in France and syndicates that are trying to fight this kind of projects. For example, in the south of France, in high schools, the syndicates of teachers mostly worked with us, and when we will start the campaign on the 16th of September, it will be in one of their buildings. And we are trying to get more people involved, more organizations involved in this kind of project, because we are really trying to decentralize this fight. And any new relation, any new partnership with committees, NGOs, or movements will be greatly appreciated.
Okay, more questions? Not that I can see. So thank you for your work, and good luck for your campaign starting in September. Guinness, give her a warm applause, please.
Thank you.